was going to share that the Yomos. I guess Pesach, the only Yomos we could have is about Chodesh Adar. We'll talk a little bit about the existence of two Chodesh Adars, what exactly is the status of this, these two Adars, and the real question is, which is the real Adar? You have a Shem Mubarak, that you have two Adars, which is considered to be the real Adar. Manas Kavina, whether something is the real Adar or not. If you would have asked me, I would have said, Manas Kavina, when you celebrate Purim. That's not where the Sugya starts. The Sugya starts in Masech HaZadarim, and the reason why it's Masech HaZadarim is for this very reason. The Gemara talks about a very technical question, Masech HaZadarim. If a person takes a Nedev, he's not going to do something until Chodesh Adar or something, which is considered to be the real Chodesh Adar. Then the Gemara relates to other areas of Halacha, where it's also become important to ascertain which is the real month of Adar. The Gemara talks about Chashtaras. You sign a document, you have to make sure the document is dated properly. So you sign a get, you sign a ksub, you sign a shtar havosh, a mechira. You have to make sure it's dated properly, you have to write the right month. But which is the real month? Which is the real month of Adar? So what would it then be if a person writes a shtar? Let's say they write a shtar today, and they would write style other in it. They wouldn't identify it as being other harishon. But then a few weeks from now, they would write a document, and they would just write style other, and they wouldn't identify it as being other hasheni. Is that a valid style or not? So which is the style other, and which is the addendum other? Which is the other that has added phrase rishon hasheni to it? Maybe both. So if my quotes about like that, sometimes I say, but the emes other is the other in rare. Now, this is the first other that's arrived, so this is the real chodesh other. So if you would write a shtar today, you would just write other stop. You wouldn't have to write. You wouldn't have to identify as being other rishon. You could just write other stop. And a few weeks from now, you write a shtar, then you have to identify as being other hasheni. And the other day in the Gemara quotes of the bride, it's the exact opposite. So you have to make sure when you write other shade, in other shade, you have to write shade, you just write other style, but other rishon. So then you have to identify, because it's not the real other, so if you have to make a note, that's other rishon. Why does it make such a big difference? In shtaros, whether we have it right or not, makes all the difference in the world, because the Mishnah tells us that a shtar muktam is potel. If you have a shtar that's dated incorrectly, it can potentially disqualify the entire shtar. It just depends on how bad it's dated. The difference between shtar muktam and shtar uchar. Shtar muktam means that the document is dated early. The transaction took place today, and I wrote it, Hashem Chodesh Kislev. It's a shtar muktam. The transaction takes place today, and I dated Hashem Chodesh Nisan. That's a shtar uchar. Why did I get in the right year? What's the difference between shtar muktam and uchar? Why is shtar muktam possible? The Gemara explains to us that shtar muktam can always potentially mess up people who may have bought some of the property. So let's say, for example, I borrow $1,000 from you. If I borrow $1,000 from you, so as of today, all my nechassim become meshuvan, become obligated to pay up that chov, and if for whatever reason I don't pay back the loan, you have a right to go after my property, and you have the right to go after my property, even if my property no longer belongs to me. Even if I subsequently sold the property to somebody else, you can go after that property. That's what's called an alacha nechassim mishubadim. The only thing is, you can only go after the nechassim mishubadim if the nechassim belongs to me at the time of the loan. Let's say last month I sold piece of land to somebody. Now today I borrow money from you, and I don't pay back in a month. So you go after the guy I sold to last month. That's not fair. He bought the property way before the lien, before the shibud, before the chov was created. That's the ABCs of hilchos shibudim. That's what the Mishnah tells us. If you have a shtar muktam, so we have the wrong date. So then the loan really took place in, we'll leave that other for now. It really took place in February, today's the 19th, make it easier. It really took place in February 19th. That's when the loan took place. That's when the shiva kicked in. So you're going to have a mistaken date. It's going to say on the shtar that it took place on January 19th. You're going to go and collect property that was still belonged to me January 19th, even though it was not true, because that predated when the chov was. So that throws up the question of shtar muktam. Shtar muktam, is that so terrible? Shtar muktam means that the two of us agree that we're gonna make a mistake on the date, we're gonna write the wrong date. It's not a nice thing to do. It's a sheker, not right to do that. But at the end of the shtar is still kosher, because we're gonna date the shtar March 19th, but you'll be mevater, so you're not gonna have that right to collect that extra month of shibud, which you should have had the ability to collect. If you're Michael, you decide you're not gonna collect, you're not collecting. We have no right to, as two of us, have no right to cheat the innocent lekeach. We want to cheat each other, do whatever we want. If we agree to cheat each other, that's fine. But we can't cheat the innocent bystander, the innocent lekeach. Therefore, shtar muktam is also. This is the reason why sometimes there's a big problem with a ketuba. When you write a ketuba, so sometimes you can run into a problem with having a shtar muktam, because if, let's say, you write the shtar the day of the ketuba now, and they don't get married until the next day. And they don't get married until the next day, so technically the ketuba was put into effect a day early. So that could somehow throw the lekuchas off the line at some point. The ketuba that's muktam is possible, so you have to be careful when you write a ketuba and date a ketuba, do you date it properly? So if you sign the ketuba today, and the chuppah is not till nighttime, so that could be a potential problem of a shtar muktam. There are those who are makel, because the Gemara says that if you make a kinyan, if you actually make an acquisition, b'yom, then the nechas become a shubat from the moment of the kinyan. That's a big question. Do we really do that? Nechas and stish, we make a kinyan, does that really work? That work, that's really a complicated super question. That's where you may sometimes do the chasanas, where sometimes delay writing the ksuba, sometimes you go to a chasana, and they're not signed the ksuba until under the chuppah. So where did that come from? Some rabbanim are nervous to sign the ksuba early, because if it's too close to Shkia, so they may end up signing the ksuba early, they'll date it wrong, and then things will get dilly-dallied, they won't end up with the chuppah until after Shkia, but maybe a chashash to the whole ksuba might be possible. So that's what you have to see that going on, so that's the source of that. As we get closer to the spring months, you're going to see that more and more, because in the winter time, you usually don't have that problem. In the spring, so you start to run into these questionable ksuba times. But anyway, get back to the story. So the Gemara Masechet Zadam tells us that when you write a shtar chadash adar, you have to be very, very careful. Everybody knows exactly which adar it is. So if the halacha dictates that adar rishon is the real adar, so then you just write adar. If the halacha dictates that adar sheni is the real adar, then you write another shady, you write the real adar. You have to make sure you get it right, or else you're going to run into a potential problem of Ishtar Moktam. How do we pass him, Allah? How do we pass him? So one would have thought that the answer to this question should be obvious. So what are we pupling about? Whether a person took a neb there and under Rishon and under Shani, whether the stars must be dated under Rishon and under Shani, isn't it obvious? Just look at Chus Purim. When do you celebrate Purim? If you celebrate Purim and under Rishon, that's a proof positive that other Rishon is the real other. If you celebrate Purim and other Shani, that's the proof positive that it's the real other. Isn't that obvious? Everybody knows we're not celebrating Purim next week. So doesn't everybody know that the real other is the second other? So that's what the Tshuva Sadeshin points out, that it's not obvious at all. Because if you look in Hilchos Purim, if you look in the Sefer Megillah with the Sugya Pira as to which other should celebrate Purim in, the Gemara gives us totally different reasons. The Gemara says, "We're called the Machloikis Hatanam and Braisa." As to which month you read the Megillah in, one Tana says Purim is next week. You read the Megillah next week, and the other time, the way we paskim, Rabbi Gamliel says, "No, you read the Megillah in 5 weeks from now. You read the Megillah in Adar Sheni." But when the Gemara raises the question, "What's Machloikis? What are they arguing about?" The Gemara does not even relate this to the issue of Masechet Nedarim. The Gemara doesn't even talk about which is the real Adar vis-a-vis Shtaros, and which is the real Adar vis-a-vis Nedarim. It's a different sugya. Why is it a different sugya? So it appears in the Gemara that, in theory, either one would have been acceptable. Either one has a shame other on it. One is the stam other, and one is the added other. But when you're discussing shtaras, and discussing nedarim, you have to be careful which one do you identify as the stam other, which one do you identify as the added other, the rishon or the shady. But for the purposes of Hilchos Purim, so in theory, either one would have been acceptable. Either one is chodesh adar. Either one has the name other in it. So in theory, one could have read the Megillah in either one. So which one should we choose? Should Chazal be keveya to read the Megillah and do the mitzvah Tayom in other Rishon? Should we push it off to other Sheni? So that's where the sugi begins in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara quotes from Marcus Atanoim with other factors in Tamri. What are the other factors? The Gemara says that the pasuk of the Megillah describes the celebration of Purim being b'chol shana v'shana. Every year you celebrate Purim. I need a pasuk to tell me you celebrate every year. Chazal made a takana to celebrate Purim. Every 10 years you celebrate b'chol shana v'shana. So the Gemara says no, that pasuk b'chol shana v'shana is a drasha. It's to teach me a halacha about the nature of the celebration of Purim, even on those off years, even on those every couple of years where you have another sheni. So the Megillah is alluding to which other you should celebrate Purim in. B'chol shana v'shana. It's a little bit strange with the Darshan Halacha from the words of the Megillah. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Gemara says that the Megillah was written by Ruach HaKodesh. The Megillah was written in such a manner, it was inspired by the Rabbanu Shalom to be written in such a manner that you can actually learn Halachas from the Megillah itself. So many of the Dinim in Chukot Purim, how do you read the Megillah? When do you read the Megillah? Shalom Chumadah, the Gemara Darshan, Tzukhah for the Megillah, as if it's the Chumash. The Gemara says, yes, Kavita Shel Torah. The Gemara says we have a right to darshan. We were supposed to darshan the words of the Megillah. And we take them as seriously. It's not just a story. It's written in Ruach HaKodesh. We take it as serious, not quite the level of the Torah itself. The Gemara says the Torah is Nitan Nidarish. So the Megillah says it's Nitan Nidarish as well. The Gemara darshan from the phrase, B'chol Shana V'shana, that you have to read the Megillah in Shana Mubarak in a leap year, B'chol Shana V'shana, the same way you do it in any other year. But the problem, what does it mean? What are the words? How do you do it every other year? That's what the Tanaim, you know, part ways. So one of the Tanaim says that just as in every year, so the first year that comes, the first other that comes, you read it in the first other. And every year there's only one other. So just as every year you read it in the first other that comes, so too, on the leap year you read it in the first other that comes. And the other Tana says, no, just as in every year you read it in the other closest to Pesach, so too in the Shana Mubarak, you read it in the other closest to Pesach. At the end of the day, the words B'chol Shana V'shana don't indicate one way or the other, so why should one say one over the other? So the Gemara says it ultimately boils down to as far as that one Tana said you have a choice when to perform the mitzvah. In theory, one could have performed the mitzvah either other Rishon or other Sheni. They're both called others. Whether it's in the Dara, Mishtaras, or right or wrong, that's irrelevant. But in theory, in Ilchus Megillah, one could have imagined being Yaitse either the first other or the second other. That's what one Tana says, that it makes more sense to be Yaitse in the first other, because we have a rule of Eim Avir and all mitzvahs. Whenever you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do it right away. That's supposed to push off doing mitzvahs. Any mitzvah that you bump into, you're supposed to do. So the Gemara says that you have to be careful when you put your tefillah into a tefillah bag. The Gemara says you have to be careful that you put it in such a way that you'll always bump into the shayad first. Because if you bump into the shayad first, then you're going to be in a pickle. Because we have a rule of Eim Avir and all mitzvahs. On the other end, the pasuk says, "Ukshatim neosay yadecha." You look at the first bereich. You have to put on the shaliyat before the sharosh. So you're going to rubbish, put yourself in a bind. You're going to be, you put yourself into a contradiction between two halachas. So therefore, you better make sure to get it right. If by some chance you goofed and you took out the sharosh first, so then the halacha is you put it back and you take the shaliyat out first, because the pasuk in chumash is more important than the aim of your mitzvah. Let's say if you would have the same dilemma when it comes to your talis and tefillin. But when Shulchan Aruch leaves asking, you're supposed to put your talis on first for a variety of reasons. But if by mistake a person took out his tefillin first, then it says in the post-game, we should put the tefillin on first, because it's Eim Avir and all mitzvahs. Eim Avir and all is a real din. The fact that we put talis on before tefillin, it's not the end of the world. But l'chatchila, we try to arrange that talis and that tefillin in such a way, you pull the talis out first, you don't have to be ma'avir and mitzvahs. But in the end, if you take your tefillin out first, you should have to put the tefillin on before you put on your talis. That's what one time it says. That Eim Avir and all mitzvahs dictates that you have to do the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah in the first other that comes your way. So here I am, I'm a Mechadish other, I don't know what to do, should I lay Megillah, not lay Megillah? So next week comes, Eim Avir and all mitzvahs, do it now, why do you wait till later? And the other time, when we pass him, says no. That Eim Avir and all mitzvahs means when all else is equal, so then you try to do the mitzvah that they bumped into first. But sometimes there are factors that are pushing you in the direction to be Eim Avir and all mitzvahs. Like we said by the Tzolan, that the Torah wants you to be ma'afil ha-mitzvahs. If you went ahead by mistake and took out the Shorosh first, so you are ma'afil ha-mitzvahs. You shouldn't have done that. You should have avoided the Shaila, but if you did, you put the Shorosh back and you put the Shaliyat on first. That's what Shimon Gamliel says here also. When it comes to Purim, so there's a good reason why we want to be ma'afil ha-mitzvahs. What's the reason? Because we want to be ma'asmich ge'ul ge'ula. Because we want to have, in close proximity as possible, the story of the Geula of Purim, as well as the story of the Geula of Pesach. Mesbach, Geula, Geula, Adif. That's more important. So if you can read the Megillah now, but not in the noise in the Purim mode now. I was in the store the other day, the new Pesach market was called Afmi, so I noticed that they don't yet have the Pesach stuff. They usually by Rosh Adar, they have all the Pesach aisles ready, everything's ready to roll. I realize why, they don't have it because they passed. That's not only Chana Adar Rishon. So even if you hold the Rishon as a real other, they still don't have it because it's not some Bukhul Pesach yet. You can put masses out for another 2.5 months from now. So,
has to be what happened.
Oh, very well. So the Mishnah talks about that. Not even a mistake. The Mishnah talks about in the olden days, they didn't know it was a Shana Mubarak yet. We already know in advance it's a Shana Mubarak. So in the olden days, they didn't know until it was a Shana Mubarak until the Beisim decided. So sometimes you can have a situation where the Beisim decided, but we didn't get the message yet. We thought it was going to be a regular year, so we laid the Megillah, and then we find out the next day that we're back by Shalom Uberes. So the Mishnah says in Megillah, you have to read over here next month. You're not even yet to be the end. Everything has to be right. You're not yet to anything, right? You have to be yet to right. You have to do everything again the second time, right? So we have the paskin halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel that mashmas lulu gula others. That's more important to have Purim closer to Pesach. So we're mafater on the idea of emavir al mitzvahs. So the Chumash Hadeshim writes in his Chumash that you see from the Gemara that the Gemara doesn't even relate this to the issue of which is the real other. Which is the real other? That's an adarim shayla. That's a shtarim shayla. In theory, they're both others. Lamaise, they're both in a machalah and a shem other. So therefore, in theory, one could have conceived of reading the Megillah on either one of them. But halacha, we pass that you landed on the second one. But in terms of which is the real other, it could very well be that the first other is the real other. So how do we pass the halacha and that machalikis? So it's machalikis of Yisharim. I think Dixit Bright, machalikis of Tzorah, machalikis of Yisharim. Which is the real other? Does it really make much of a difference for us? Okay, we write stars, we write exubas, you have to be careful which one to write, which one to date appropriately. But it comes to the Dharam, so we'll get to the Dharam Shalas, you have to figure out which is the real other. If you're not sure which is the real other, so let's say you want to write a shtar, you don't want to take a chance, but you can identify one of the others. If you write other Arisha, write other Asheni, then for sure you're okay. There's nothing wrong with writing other Arisha, nothing wrong with writing other Asheni. You didn't have to. One of the two, you didn't have to. We're not sure which one. So, at the end of the world, that's what we do in our star. So we identify other Rishon, other Hashani, and Shait. And we say Shabbos Avarchim. So we, in theory, according to some Tanaim, you don't have to identify one of the two. We're not sure which one. How many as we say other Rishon, other Hashani? We say to be say both. But in the heart of hearts, which is the real, true other, it's a little bit unresolved. So to a Sedeshin, right, in the Shuva, that Lochapanas Kalina, which is the real other, more practical Shilas, but Kalina for Yurtsites. The Gemara says that the Gemara doesn't say explicitly all the practices of Yurtsites that we have, but the Gemara does talk about certainly Hugim that a person has, Biyom Shemesh Be'aviv. The Gemara quotes the Brites, also Maseches Nedarim, about how apparently it was a custom for a person to refrain from certain things, Biyom Shemesh Be'aviv. The Gemara says that people used to refrain from Bosom Yayin on Yom Shabbos Be'aviv, that in the later days of Rishonim had the meaning of a fasting on Yom Shabbos Be'aviv, and different Be'aviv that have developed over the years about to commemorate the mark of the day of Yom Shabbos Be'aviv, the day of a Yahrzeit. The Shabbos Hadeshin raises the Shiloh, which is the day of the Yahrzeit. The person passed away in the Chodesh Adar, now you have a Shalom Uberet, so which is the real day? So the Shabbos Hadeshin says, this is the Machlekes Satanot. This has nothing to do with Torah, nothing to do with Kriyas HaMegillah. This is Medara, this is Shtara, this is the old story, which is the real date. So the Chumash Hadeshin writes, and he thinks that Mikra Dimli Pasuk. The first other is the real other. Let's say if a person passed away in a regular year, and his Yurtzeit is Zayin Adar, the Chumash Hadeshin says, he thinks that the Ikar other to observe is actually the first other. And not everyone agrees. There are those who say no. Those who said that we passed like the other Tanoim. Maybe the second other is the real other. So there are different practices about this. So there are more quotes from Chumash Hadeshin, which says that the real other is the first other. That's all you have to observe. And others disagree. So there are those who have the practice of observing both others. Depends what you need. Who give more for your sites. So the minig that many have of fasting, that was the original minig. The Rishon quote, the Shulchan Aruch quote, the minig of fasting on the Yahrzeit. In later years, so that minig became a little bit less prevalent. In more the Chassidish communities, people have that bent. So somehow fasting got somehow transformed to become making a kiddush and having the entermins and then schnapps in the morning. And the original minig in the Rishon was to fast. For those who say that the reason why the minhag changed was not the heart. People are hot, they gotta go to work. It's a regular day for them to fast. So we have this idea in halacha sometimes when you have a tainus, it's not an absolute chiyuv. So if you have a siddur mitzvah, the tainus b'chayim, those kinds of things, to make a siddur mitzvah. So then almost that's almost in place of a tainus. But apparently the minhag took on different transformation. The old minhag was like the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mamash fast on your side. And then the minhag became those who were having difficulty fasting, so they would make a siyum and make a siddur mitzvah. And then what happened is that somehow the siyum got lost and the schnapps and the regulars stayed behind. Again, it's not an absolute din to fast on your side, but those who have the practice, so it is an old minhag to fast on your side. But when it comes to fasting on your side, you have to tell a person to fast both days. No, that already, maybe we can be a little bit more lenient on. But some people do have the practice of lighting your Yahrzeit candle twice, and then the practice of saying Kaddish twice, and then probably some of the minhag of fasting twice as well, at least having a tikkun, having a something on both days. But the Ikra Din, there are a lot of paskin, like the Chumash Hadeshin, the Ikra Din is that the first other is really the true other. This idea of a Shalom Uberes impacts in Hilchas, the Halachas, and the Hilchas of Yahrzeit in another way. That's, we know that the Ikra din is that the Yurtzai is Yom Shemesh Be'av V'ima, the Yurtzai is also the day of the Misa. So the Poskim quote a minig in the Simon Shulchan Aruch, in the end of the Zavaris by Yurtzai, that the Poskim quote a minig that many communities had the first year, so the Yurtzai was changed. And instead of having the Yurtzai of the Yom HaMisa, they would have the Yurtzai of the Yom HaKvura. Why is that? Because sometimes there's a couple of days in between the Misa and the Kvura, and that could throw off the calculation of Yud Beis Chodesh. The Yud Beis Chodesh is Avela, that follows the Yom HaKvura, that doesn't follow the Yom HaMisa. So in theory, let's say you had a Yom HaMisa on a Sunday, and until they got everything put together, they didn't get the Kvura done until Thursday. But now, a year later, when you cheshbon, when the Yurtzeit is, so it'll turn out that the Yurtzeit is the Yom HaMisa, but the Avela isn't over yet. Another 3 days left of Avela. So it's going to lead to confusion, because in the mindset of people, once the Yurtzeit is over, then they go back to the parties, then they go back to the weddings, then everything is done. So it's not true, because if the Yom HaMisa and the Kvura were on the same day, or it was one day apart, it's not going to make a difference. But if it's a couple of days apart, it's going to throw everything off. You're going to end up mistakenly ending the Avelis before the Avelis is actually over. So therefore, the minhag started in some communities on the first year, whenever there was a break between the Misa and the Kvura, to push the first Yurtzeit off until the Yom HaKvura. And others said, never heard of such a thing. Others said, Yurtzeit, the day the person dies. That's the Yom HaDin, whatever it is. That's the day of Yurtzeit. So tell everybody that they shouldn't end the Avelis for another 3 days. But there were different minhagim. Adi Yom HaDin had a different minhag with different communities about this. The Pista Shubi, this was Avelis quote, that when you have a Shana Mubaris, then there's nothing to worry about. If you have a Shana Mubaris, so the 12 months end anyway a month earlier. The Yurtzeit doesn't roll around until 13 months, basically. The Yom HaKvura is long gone. So the reason for the minhag doesn't apply to Shana Mubaris. So anyone that first year starts coming up this year doesn't have to worry about this minhag. This minhag doesn't apply when you have a Shana Mubaris. But yeah, Yom HaMisa, I think any other year. So this idea that there's Machlokes HaTanaim, both in terms of when to land in Megillah, Machlokes HaTanaim, when to be Kaveh, what's considered to be the real Adar. So this is all true when you have halachas that emanate from Chodesh Adar. The person took a neder, not Chodesh Adar. You want to write a shtar and write in the shtar in the month of Adar. You want to write in the Megillah, Chodesh Adar, the Yurtzeit, Chodesh Adar. Those all didn't have to do with Adar. What if you have halachas that emanate not so much from the month, but emanate from a year? So then, the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us in a slightly different context, that the year isn't over until the Chodesh Iyar passes as well. Most of the time, years are 12 months, and every once in a while, a year is 13 months. So any halacha depends upon a year. You have to wait until the full 13 months have passed in order to declare that the year is over. The Manas Kaminas, in terms of birthdays, about animals. That's what the Manas doesn't know about people's birthdays. The Manas about animals' birthdays. Why do we care about animals' birthdays? The Chatzas Kaminas, in terms of karbanas. For some karbanas, have to be Ben Shana, so it has to be 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, different keves and an ayel and a par, and different ages and animals. That's just different species, different ages and animals, so it's important to know exactly whether this animal has reached its birthday or not. People's birthdays are not so important. The Gemara doesn't talk too much about people's birthdays, because we know from Tanakh that there are very few people whose birthdays are celebrated, one of them being a paro. So, the idea of making a big party on a birthday is not really such a terrific concept. Gemara says that when Yosef turned 60, so he made a party when he turned 60, because then he realized that he had made it past the age of courage. So that was a celebration. But besides that, you don't find the Gemara such a tremendous celebration of birthdays. The only birthday, of course, that does matter is the birthday that a person becomes chayav mitzvah. So a boy turns 13, that's an important birthday. Girl turns 12, then she becomes chayav mitzvah, that's an important birthday. So how do you determine whether the person has reached their birthday or not? So here the Rishonim write that if you have somebody who's born in Chodesh Adar, so it becomes very complicated. You have to try to figure out at which of the others do they reach their birthday. So here the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, who say as follows, that for these purposes, let's say if a baby was born in a Chodesh Adar, for 13 years he was born in Chodesh Adar, now you want to know at what point does he reach his halachic birthday. So we're not asking a question, which is the real Adar. We're asking, has he had 13 years yet? So 13 years haven't passed until the Shana Mubaris has passed. So now you have to wait until the other Sheni. So if you have any baby that was born any baby that was born in an other, in a Stam Chodesh other, so if they become Bar Bas Mitzvah in a Shana Mubaris, they would for sure have to wait, we pass you, they would for sure have to wait until the second other. But the first other, although it's maybe called other, maybe you can take a net, you can have a yitzhak, maybe free the Megillah, but it's not 13 years yet, so you would have to wait until the other sheni. So according to that cheshbon, it should turn out that whenever you have a shel muveres, you should have mamash no bar mitzvahs. Rambam should get a freebie for a month. There should be no ketuvim bar mitzvah in other rishon. There's an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is if it happened to be that the child was born during the shel muveres. So that kind of could happen depending on the breakdown of the years. So this year happens to be that way. This is the lucky or the unlucky year, whatever you want. Not only this year shel muveres, but it happened to be that 13 years ago was the shel muveres as well. So that's why we've been having some amitzvahs the last couple of weeks, because any baby that was born in other Rishon of Rishon Muberes, so most poskim, most, not all, most poskim assume becomes bar mitzvah in other Rishon of Rishon Muberes as well. The Magen Avraham actually disagrees with that also. The Magen Avraham says, no, there are no bar mitzvahs in a other Rishon. Impossible to have a mitzvah in other Rishon. But the Magen Avraham says that even if the baby was born in a other Rishon of Rishon Muberes, if it's bar mitzvah in the Shana Muberes, you have to wait until other Sheni of the Shana Muberes. You have to become bar mitzvah for, you know, a year plus a month, whatever the cheshbon is. So the minig ha'olam is not like that. Both the Mishnah Berurah, the Yochai Shulchan Rai, the Rubens of the Poskim don't accept that. We assume halacha that a person can theoretically become bar mitzvah in other Rishon if he was in fact born in another Rishon. So this year is a quirk. This Shana Muberes is a funny Shana Muberes, but a regular Shana Muberes, 30 years earlier was not a Shana Muberes, but then the baby that was born in a regular other becomes bar mitzvah in other sheni. It's that's the famous, it's a riddle almost. We shouldn't call it a riddle. I can have two babies that are born, and one baby is born earlier than the other, becomes bar mitzvah later. So they start talking about the baby's born in a regular other, and the following year the Shana Muberes. So one baby was born Chatas other, and one was born Aleph other Sheni. So the Aleph baby becomes a mitzvah before the Chatas baby. It's a strange Meshulimtik stories. So that's all because of the strange fluke that you have in terms of the other Sheni being the real, not really the real other, but the real month in terms of the mitzvah. So the answer to our original question is, which is the real other? You have to know which area of halacha you're talking about. Shtaros is one area of halacha, Nedarim is a similar area of halacha. You have Yotzeit you have to talk about. You have to talk about when you're laying the Megillah, when you celebrate Purim, when boys become a mitzvah. So some halachas are emanating from the chaloshim of Adar. Some halachas are emanating from which is the most appropriate time to celebrate Purim. Other halachas are emanating from has the Shana passed yet? So the answer to the question is not always the same, because there are different areas of halacha have different things that are forcing us to come to different conclusions. So in terms of Ruchos Purim, so the answer is clear. In terms of Ruchos Purim, so we pass in the halacha, it's the second order. When it comes to everything else, so then it's negotiable. Then you can begin to discuss what exactly the stats of all the different others do. Okay. So hopefully Mr. Shem on Tuesday, so we'll have the Mavim Kamesh ready. Hopefully we'll begin the Sugya of Kedushin, that Chos Tes. I'm